Guten Tag, meine Damen und Herren, und herzlich willkommen zur heutigen Telefonkonferenz der ProSiebenSat.1 Media SE anlässlich der Veröffentlichung der Q1-Zahlen 2018. Diese Konferenz wird aufgezeichnet. An dieser Stelle übergebe ich das Wort an Frau Rupp-Menedetter. Bitte schön.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This call will be in English. And welcome to our press conference call on the results of the first quarter of 2018. Konrad Alba, together with Jan Kemper, will lead you through the results, and after that we will start the Q&A session. As in the past, you can ask your questions in English as well as in German. And now I will hand over to Konrad Alba. Please go ahead.
Okay, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. From my side, this is Konrad Albert. I'd like to take you through our Q1 call together with Jan. And I'd like to start on page 3 with our operational update for Q1 2018. As you can see here, we are working in our new group setup with our three pure play pillars since January 2018. TV ratings, I'm happy to say, have taken a very robust development in Q1. Year to date, we are slightly above prior year by 0.4 percentage points. And on a year-to-year Q1 comparison, we are flat. That is actually not so bad if you take into account that we were facing Winter Olympics and a strong sports content coverage on the public broadcasters, including March, and also with a slight look into April, we are an overall good performance, especially if compared to the performance of our competitors. TV advertising, positive development in the first quarter of this year. And given Easter and Q1, Winter Olympics, Champions League, we can really say that we've delivered a solid TV advertising performance with a growth of 2.5 percentage points year on year. And obviously, as you can imagine, that makes us quite happy. Moving on to our data strategy, we've founded NetID. That's our key enabler for future-ready data strategy, really a reach-driven platform by the founders United Internet, RTL, ProSiebenSat.1, and we also have, as you know, Zalando on board. Our objectives here for our data strategy are to offer a transparent, a compliant with GDPR, and a future-ready with regard to potentially privacy regulation platform that is really offering an alternative to Facebook, Google, and co. Moving on to a distribution business, for a long time now, that's always giving us a lot of positive satisfaction. We're moving very steadily ahead in this structurally growth-driven business. The team has installed two additional deals on satellite, which is really mentionable because that will increase competition for HD marketing in the satellite population. Really looking forward to that taking effect and getting its wheels on the ground. And we've also enhanced our OTT distribution deal with Zattoo by implementing new rights offerings in HD. Ucom Group, we've closed the transaction on April 4, 2018 with General Atlantic and are now going into, let's say, full force operational growth mode with our partners General Atlantic here. If we move to page 4, the key financials for the first quarter of this year, revenues with 881 million, that is slightly down versus prior year by 3%. But if you look at this on an organic and FX-adjusted group level, the revenue growth would actually be, on a calculatory basis, positive. Adjusted EBITDA up by 7% to 200 million euros, and adjusted net income also up by 6% to now 93 million euros. If we move on now to page 5, as said, we've implemented our three pure plays with the entertainment segment. That's basically our one-stop shop for everything that is content, including all types of monetization models, free, pay, transaction. And by this, we've actually taken a very holistic and 360-degree approach to our content business and the way we understand and we operate everything about content and entertainment and information and what have you. Our second segment, Red Arrow Studios, comprising of our content production and our global sales business and of Studio 71, has also moved on in its development. We've added in our distribution business a new asset by acquiring Gravitas, a very big and very, in our view, interesting distribution, content distribution business in the U.S., and that will leave, I'll come to that later on, or will put Red Arrow in a whole new ball game when it comes to content distribution worldwide. And number three, of course, Newcom Group, our commerce business, with our co-investment of General Atlantic. So that's the way, the type, the setup we're working on since the beginning of this year. If we now move on, I would again like to point out, because for us it's very important to reiterate that as often as we can, that TV continues to lead in both reach and viewing time. And I really personally think it's important to clarify myth from truth. As you can see here, across all age demographics, we still have an over 90% penetration of classical linear TV usage, VOD usage with a penetration of 35% now. This compared to that, obviously much smaller. We will not neglect that it's growing, but TV is very strong. Also, if you look into the actual minutes, the viewing time spent on the different types of TV usage, with linear in excess of 220 million a day and nonlinear usage in one digit minute number per day. So that gives us a lot of confidence with our business model setups. And this will be accompanied by ongoing panel upgrades to include online usage, as communicated to us by AGF. We've seen in the second half of 2017 already the technical implementation of TV usage via browser, live streaming, and catch-up, and we hope to see over the course of the year the technical implementation in the measurement of TV usage via apps and to have that included in the AGF data as we go along in 2018, and hopefully then also the integration of YouTube TV usage, which obviously will give us a much more realistic and clearer picture on the actual reach that we generate with our content. So that's the roadmap for the panel adjustments going forward. If we now look at ratings, I think it's important to note that across all our three German-speaking territories, we've shown in Q1 a very, very solid performance. We are with 26.8% market share on the same level as per Q1 in Germany. We are seeing an increasing market share in Austria, and we also see an increasing market share in Switzerland, and that all despite the Olympics, as said, that have been broadcast on the public broadcasting channels. If I may take the opportunity, I can also let you know that year-to-date we have even improved our performance as our channel ratings are concerned, and we are now on a year-to-year comparison 0.4 percentage points above the ratings that we've seen a year ago from now. Just a few words on Austria, because I think it's really remarkable what the colleagues down there are delivering in terms of performance. We've seen a new record market share, an all-time high for Pulse 4 in April with 31.2% in the age group 12 to 49, and Pulse 4 with a monthly market share of 5.1%. And also ATV, our newest child in our channel family in Austria, is increasing its ratings on a continuous basis with 4.1% in April of this year. Now, as said, if we move to page 9, as you can see here, we have not only maintained, but we've also expanded our leading position in the German TV ad market. If you look at Q1 2018, we lead vis-a-vis the RTL group channels as regards audience share by 1.1 percentage points. And that is on a very constant basis also the case year to date. And that's driven by a solid performance of both U.S. licensed content and local commission content. So in our view, the right and smart mix of content is the key to success. And that is something that I would like to elaborate on the following pages. Despite voices out there that are basically discrediting U.S. content, it needs to be pointed out they have again and again with strong formats in all genres. New sitcoms, for example, Young Sheldon, launched on ProSieben in January, has delivered ratings of up to 25.4 percentage points. That's the strongest sitcom start we've seen in our market to date ever. Big Bang Theory, an established sitcom, a long runner, really still up there with up to 22.3%. And also blockbusters, i.e. classical feature films, movies, deliver solid performances. And that also shows you that in connection with local content, as you can see on page 11, that is the way or the mix for success in our ratings performance that we've seen, especially this year, starting December, but especially this year, going up to year-to-date now. New formats, Das Ding des Jahres, a show produced by our former host Stefan Raab, with up to almost 15% in ratings. The comedy Fun Friday on Sat.1 is a slot that we have managed to establish very well with a new format called Mord mit Ansage, Murder on Announcement, so to speak. And we've also implemented on ProSieben, after a long period of not having a late-night talk show, a late-night with Klaas Häufer Umlauf as per January, that has delivered, and we've seen a really nice performance above channel average in that time slot with up to 12.4%. But Late Night Berlin, we're very happy about that. Established formats also, if programmed and catered to in the right way, are performing very good. Das Frühstücksfernsehen, or morning show, now for a very long time, the best performing morning show on German television across the board, is very often up in the 20s as regards viewer ratings. And it looks like we've really found the right notch in terms of positioning programming. But also a long runner like Germany's Next Topmodel, in now its 13th season, with up to 21.5 percentage points in ratings, is, so to speak, a bank for ProSieben on Thursday evenings. And then a format, just to give you an example, also local format like Bommi Backen, Celebrity Baking, that we've really nurtured for a long time and now starts to deliver. And that shows you that TV and format development is something that's sometimes requires patience and more of a marathon approach than a sprinting approach. On the upcoming side, we've acquired Masters of Dance, a new approach to a dancing format that we are developing now and will probably start broadcasting early in 2019. We will also have a new magazine on Sat.1 as the counterpart to the morning show called Endlich Feierabend. The Voice of Germany will return, as will Global Gladiators, which is an entertainment show for ProSieben. Solid performance also, kind of, I think it's fair to say, reflects that TV remains the key for advertisers, as they're apparently, and luckily for us, increasing their share in media mix. There are, I would like to point out on this page 12, a couple of outliers on the negative side. Motor vehicles have reduced their gross spending versus prior year by 8%, and that's because this industry is really seeing a very challenging climate with the car emissions fraud scandal and everything around that. And Volkswagen, who I think it's fair to say is in the eye of the storm of all of this, is the number one reducer of TV ad spend. We only have two brands in the automotive sector with an ad spend increase. That's Fiat Leon and that's Skoda. Finance, on the other side, is tremendously beefing up its TV ad spendings by 32%, and that is even above the total media ad spend growth of 15.6%. The strongest segment here being the insurance segment, followed by finance services for private customers and image campaigns. For the latter, as we all know, TV is obviously the perfect medium. And it's interesting to see that traditional financial services need apparently to accelerate the customer value creation in order to avoid losing customers to startup fintech firms. And that's why they put more focus on marketing and advertising. Telecommunication, the third one industry I would like to pick out here, has slightly increased their gross spending versus previous year by 5%. And that's still the result of the mergers and the consolidation and the heavy competition that's going on in this market. Now, given our very, in a positive way, opportunistic and platform-agnostic distribution approach, we also maximize reach and by that monetization opportunities across all platforms. And you can see two examples that we've realized in this first quarter of 2018. As said earlier, Germany's Next Topmodel in its 13th season delivers not only solid ratings of up to 21.5%, but the digital reach extension essentially almost delivers us the same reach, i.e. doubling the reach of this format. And that's obviously something that our sales teams are now monetizing on. Another reach maximizing initiative example is Jerks, the second season. That's a Maxdome original that's also now starting on ProSieben on free TV in order to also create eyeballs and reach here. And that enables the realization of our 360-degree advertising campaigns, such as we did for that top model example that I've just pointed out with Deichmann shoes. Really customized advertising products for such customers, or with the Voice Kids, that was also one of our very successful formats in Q1, and the customer InterSnack. And that goes across TV, online, mobile, social print, all the way through licensing and point of sales and retail corporations. So here, 71 Media can really play out his whole competence to offer 360-degree advertising products for customers. Everything about customers, about knowing our customers, about registrations, about data is now coming into place with regard to NetID. That's the foundation, as mentioned earlier, that we have implemented together with United Internet, RTL, and Zalando. NetID will launch in summer of this year, and it will provide an open industry standard for login services that are compliant with the General Data Protection Regulation that's coming into place end of this month, and also will be compliant with potential future e-privacy regulation. It kind of offers a safe haven for these registrations beyond, and by this also delivers us and advertisers the opportunity to target and track customers beyond having to be depending on cookies. And it will be not only convenient, so it's really reach and consumer driven, but will also be very transparent for the users and will be a really nice alternative beyond the Facebooks, the Amazons, and so forth of this world, and obviously will enable future-ready data strategy compliant with the new environments that we're going up to. Jumping to our distribution business, we're on a very solid track with regard to our 2018 target of 9.2 paying HD customers, about 300,000 HD new subscriptions to go, and that looks very, very solid here. That hopefully will receive a slight additional push, especially in the satellite world, given that we have two new players that are now about to enter the satellite population with HD, or with marketing HD channel bouquets and programs, of which we are part. One is Diveo, and the other one is Freenet TV that will also go out on the satellite realm. Both will launch in April or have launched in April. And I've mentioned the additional Zattoo OTT deal earlier as well. Here on page 17, you're probably familiar with this chart. We show again that we are essentially on all relevant platforms with all relevant distribution features, HD, but also now the new types of use cases, instant restart, network-based digital video recorder, and so forth on all relevant OTT platforms, and of course with the traditional players. Now, as mentioned earlier, I would like to point out that we have done a really nice recent acquisition for Red Arrow Studios with Gravitas that significantly expands our global sales business, adding 3,300 titles to our catalog. So that's basically a factor of four compared to our current catalog. It shows you that we really gain gravitas, so to speak, in a double word of meaning of the word here. And also gravitas brings to the table more than 140 new customers. So our international content distribution business is really gaining traction here. With regard to NuCom SE, as you can see here on this page, all relevant deals within the transaction have in the meantime been successfully closed. ProSiebenSat.1 now owns 74.9% in NuCom SE and controls and consolidates the entity, of course. And our growth partner, General Atlantic, holds 25.1% of NuCom's equity. I would really like to point out that this was not only the one transaction with General Atlantic, but at the same time, we've managed to buy out all the minorities in the cornerstone assets that you can see here in ParshipMeet Group, in Verivox, in billigermietwagen.de, as well as in Amorelie. And now turning to the next page, as we can see here, NuCom has seen a very strong operational start into 2018, with ParshipMeet Group seeing an excellent development of registrations and of new subscribers. And also now they're gaining significant traction in their mobile product offering. Amorelie, very strong development in B2C sales as well. And Flaconi is seeing a continuing dynamic sales performance. Also, by the way, due to a focused marketing push, and that's a great example of how our cross-fertilization playbook between commerce and TV actually works. So essentially, I would like you to remember three things. The implementation of a new group setup is very well on track. We are seeing a solid performance of our core TV business, both in terms of ratings as well as in terms of monetization. And we are also very well positioned within the non-TV businesses, both with regard to Red Arrow Studios, but also with regard to NuCom Group SE. And I would like to close my part of the presentation by confirming our financial outlook 2018, with group revenues coming in a low to mid-single digit increase. Adjusted EBITDA margin will be in the mid-20s. The adjusted net income around 50% adjusted EBITDA to adjusted net income conversion. We will stay in our financial leverage bracket of 1.5 to 2.5 times, and the dividend payout ratio that we will go into next week's AGM with will stay in the 80%-90% range. And with this, I would like to hand over to Jan.
Thank you, Konrad, and also good morning from my side. Let me continue with a closer look at the financial performance of the group in the first quarter of 2018 and also give you some more details regarding the performance of our three new segments. So page 24 summarizes our key financial topics in the first quarter, A, on the revenue side and also on the earnings side, and B, also in terms of our financial leverage. Thanks to a solid start of our entertainment and commerce operations, we achieved a portfolio and currency-adjusted group revenue growth of about 1%. This development was in particular driven by our TV advertisement and distribution business, as well as our key commerce assets. In terms of content production and global sales, we were operating in a still more demanding market environment combined with some FX headwinds, which led to a revenue decline in the segment. Despite this, the group was able to achieve a very satisfying earnings performance, both in terms of adjusted EBITDA and adjusted net income, predominantly as a result of efficient cost management. As a result, and due to a healthy free cash flow generation, our financial leverage declined to 1.5 times net financial debt to adjusted EBITDA at the end of the quarter. With this development, we also reached the lower end of our financial leverage target range, which gives us sufficient financial headroom to execute on our M&A pipeline. Let's now have a look on how this translates into the numbers on the following pages. As indicated earlier, our group revenues and earnings were temporarily affected by the deconsolidation of eTraveleye and Comwell, which is our former packaged tour business, Vec.de, as well as some adverse currency effects, mainly in our Red Arrow Studios segments, which were only partly compensated by the first-time consolidation benefits, such as Jochen Schweizer and MyDays. In Q1 2018, this led to a decline in reported revenues by 3%. On a portfolio and currency-adjusted basis, however, group revenue growth was at 1%. Due to an efficient program cost management and reduced other operating expenses, both adjusted EBITDA and adjusted net income increased in the mid-single-digit percentage range. Please note that adjusted EBITDA partly benefited from IFRS 16 implementation. However, positive IFRS effects and negative currency and M&A effects were literally a wash on EBITDA level. So in terms of adjusted net income, IFRS 16 did not have a positive impact. Let me now continue with the review of our segment performance on the next pages. Looking at our three segments, briefly talking about entertainment revenues increased by 2% to 624 million euros. At the same time, revenues of both the content production and global sales and the commerce segment declined by 13 and 14% respectively. Let's go into more details in terms of segment performance on the following pages. So page 27, here you can see that the overall entertainment revenues were up 2%, as mentioned earlier. Within this, advertising revenues remain about flat, which is the result of two somewhat opposing developments. A positive TV advertising revenue growth above segment average, so around 2.5%, as well as an offsetting performance mainly of SevenVentures, but as well as a softer ad VOD business. Distribution revenues again increased dynamically by 14%, helped by HD and additional new products. In addition to that, other revenues, which comprise our program sales, pay VOD, and advertising platform solutions, showed solid double-digit revenue growth. In terms of profitability, adjusted EBITDA increased notably by 15% due to a combination of TV advertisement, distribution, and internal revenue growth, as well as good cost control, lower program cost, and the benefit of IFRS 16. Let me now dig deeper into our content business on the next page. External revenues of the segment declined by 13% to slightly less than 100 million euros. While organic segment revenue development was also negative, reported revenues have been meaningfully affected by a weakening US dollar, which lost about 15% versus a euro year over year. Revenues from our content production declined by 32%, mainly owing to an overall higher production volatility and phasing. And given our existing production pipeline, we expect the business to return to growth in H2. The increase in global sales revenues can largely be attributed to the first-time consolidation of Gravitas Ventures, as Konrad pointed out. In terms of segment profitability, the operating margin remained about stable. However, due to the revenue performance, adjusted EBITDA declined by 8%, although on a low absolute basis. Let's now move over to the commerce segment. Overall revenues were down 14% due to the deconsolidation of eTraveleye and our former package tour business, Vec.de, which only was partly offset compensated by the first-time consolidation of Jochen Schweizer. Excluding those effects, the commerce segment had a solid organic revenue performance in the high single-digit range, primarily driven by assets such as Parship, Flaconi, and Amorelie. Adjusted EBITDA was below prior year's level, which reflects two developments. First, there was a deconsolidation effect in the amount of more than 10 million euros. As a result, this implies a prior year like-for-like comparable for the segment of about 15 million euros adjusted EBITDA. Second, profits were affected by the already announced implementation of a new media contract between our TV ad sales house, 7ONE, with the equivalent positive impact in entertainment. This being said, the operating margin would have been broadly stable on a like-for-like basis. Let's move to the next page with an overview of our financial debt and leverage. We continue to benefit from our strong balance sheet. At the end of March 2018, the group had a financial leverage of 1.5 times net financial debt to adjusted EBITDA, which provides us with sufficient M&A firepower, which we intend to use in the next couple of months. Please note that our IFRS net debt definition does not include 167 million of financial lease liabilities, as footnoted on the page. Free cash flow before M&A reached a strong level of more than 500 million euros in the past 12 months. Please note that our free cash flow in the rest of the year is expected to be negatively affected by a meaningful amount of severance payments and other reorganization expenses. As mentioned at our Capital Markets Day end of last year, we expect this to turn into a targeted 50 million euros net savings by 2020. Moving to page 31, let's have a look at our 2017 dividend proposal. Given an increase of both adjusted net income as well as free cash flow, the executive board of ProSiebenSat.1 proposes a dividend per share in the amount of 1.93 euros to its shareholders. This is in line with our dividend policy and reflects a dividend payout ratio of slightly above 80%. The proposal will result in an expected total dividend payment of 442 million euros, subject to supervisory board and AGM approval on May 16th, as well as the number of treasury shares being held at that time. With this proposal, we will continue a strong dividend track record of the past few years. The dividend yield based on the closing price at year-end 2017 amounts to 6.7%. As you might have noticed, we included a section on quarterly adjusted EBITDA development in the outlook statement of our press release, as we expect the phasing of program costs to normalize in 2018 after a deviating seasonality in the financial year 2017. More specifically, this return to normal seasonality will see program costs increase in the second and the third quarter, with an almost similar counterbalancing effect in the fourth quarter of the year. In combination with still remaining overall negative consolidation effects, we expect this to lead to a decrease of group adjusted EBITDA both in Q2 and Q3. This seasonality will have no impact on our adjusted EBITDA guidance on a full year basis, with our financial outlook remaining unchanged for an adjusted EBITDA margin in the mid-20s% range. This being said, I would like to reconfirm our financial outlook for 2018 on the next page. We continue to target a low to mid-single-digit revenue growth on a full-year basis. This development reflects the before-mentioned deconsolidation and currency effects, and also takes a higher level of revenue growth in the second half into account. Adjusted EBITDA margin is expected to be in the mid-20s% range. Last but not least, we continue to target an adjusted EBITDA to adjusted net income conversion of about 50%. Financial leverage target range of 1.5 to 2.5 and dividend payout ratio of 80 to 90% remain unchanged. And with this, I'd like to open the Q&A session.
Danke. Meine Damen und Herren, falls Sie eine Frage über das Telefon stellen möchten, drücken Sie bitte Stern 1 auf Ihrem Telefon. Stellen Sie bitte sicher, dass Ihre Stummtaste deaktiviert ist, damit das Signal unsere Geräte erreichen kann. Falls Sie feststellen, dass Ihre Frage bereits beantwortet wurde, können Sie diese zurückziehen, indem Sie die Stern 2 drücken. Noch einmal zur Erinnerung, drücken Sie bitte Stern 1, um eine Frage zu stellen. Wir werden nun einen kurzen Augenblick warten, um allen Teilnehmern die Gelegenheit zu geben, ihre Frage zu signalisieren. Unsere erste Frage kommt nun von Jörn Polz von Reuters. Bitte schön.
Guten Tag, ich habe insgesamt drei Fragen. Einmal zum Thema NuCom. Wie sieht es denn da jetzt mit Zukäufen aus, mit Ihren Plänen, mit Ihrer Pipeline? Vielleicht können Sie da so eine Orientierung geben. Sie haben ja eben erwähnt, dass Sie die Feuerkraft, die Sie haben, in den nächsten paar Monaten einsetzen wollen. Das wäre meine erste Frage. Ich schließe gleich meine beiden weiteren Fragen an. Sie beziehen sich auf das Production-Geschäft. Die herausfordernden Marktbedingungen, unter denen das Geschäft im Moment leidet, können Sie die nochmal genauer beschreiben? Was sind die Schwierigkeiten, denen diese Sparte, also die jetzt diese Entwicklung zugrunde liegen? Und dazu meine letzte Frage, wie sieht es denn im Augenblick aus mit der Partnersuche für das Produktionsgeschäft? Wie sind Sie da vorangekommen? Haben Sie da genauere Pläne? Dankeschön.
Ja, schönen guten Morgen. Ich würde die erste und die dritte Frage nehmen zu der M&A-Pipeline bei der NuCom. Kurzer Reminder, also wir haben das Closing mit GA ja jetzt abgeschlossen am 4. April. Das heißt von einem knappen Monat und sind dementsprechend jetzt mit voller Kraft auch unterwegs, uns die entsprechenden M&A-Ziele anzuschauen. Wir bleiben dabei, dass wir vornehmlich in Q3 und Q4 dort die erwarteten Transaktionen dann auch vermelden wollen. Und das ist schon in der Region von 2 bis 3 Transaktionen, auf die wir in diesem Jahr zielen. Zu dem Thema Partnersuche auf der Produktionsseite. Der Prozess läuft. Wir schauen uns die entsprechenden Optionen an und werden uns natürlich schnellstmöglich melden, sobald es dort etwas Spruchreifes gibt.
Ja, und zur zweiten Frage, Herr Polz, Konrad Albers hier. Das Produktionsgeschäft per se unterliegt natürlich immer einer gewissen Volatilität. Ne? Das kennen wir ja auch von der Auftraggeberseite selbst auch. Das heißt, es kommt schon mal vor, dass relativ kurzfristig Cancellations reinkommen, was wir jetzt spezifisch gesehen haben. In jüngerer Zeit sind vor allen Dingen im US-Markt, in dem wir sehr stark vertreten sind mit der Red Arrow Studios-Gruppe, Konsolidierung, also ich sage nur Disney Fox, aber vor allen Dingen auch Discovery und Scripps. Und das führt natürlich auf der Auftraggeberseite dann auch phasenweise mal zu Pausierung, wenn so große Transaktionen laufen, was das in Auftrag geben von neuen Content-Formaten angeht. Dann haben wir das ja schon erwähnte Währungswechselrisiko, was ich dann auch hier und da mal bemerkbar machen kann. Generell im Vergleich zu anderen Geschäftssegmenten bei uns einfach, sagen wir mal so, eine etwas geringere Planbarkeit dieses Geschäfts aufgrund der Kurzfristigkeit von Auftragsproduktionsentscheidungen. Das in Summe ist letzten Endes das Challenge, was wir mit Red Arrow Group haben, mal mehr, mal weniger.
Dankeschön.
Meine Damen und Herren, noch einmal zur Erinnerung, bitte drücken Sie Stern 1, um eine Frage zu stellen. Wir haben in der Regel keine Fragen mehr.
Gut, dann bedanke ich mich fürs Zuhören und wünsche noch einen schönen Tag. Tschüss.
Meine Damen und Herren, hiermit ist die heutige Konferenz beendet. Wir danken für Ihre Teilnahme und wünschen noch einen angenehmen Tag.